you know what's going on, give you a heads up for things as well. All right, so that's that. In your bulletin, I want to just highlight in the announcement section there, make sure you read all those events coming up. The guest who's coming for supper is February 26th, so I know that's the end of February, but you know what, it's a couple weeks, it's coming quick. And so please sign up, I've got three people signed up, and I know, we get tons. We get like 30 couples in this and families in this, so please sign up. And if you're interested in hosting, then talk to me secretly so that no one knows that you're going to host. Just talk to me, and we're going to hook things up there. What it is, I think it might explain it in the bulletin. It's on the sign-up sheet. It's on the office. It's orange. You can't miss the sign-up. But all it is you get to go over to someone's place for supper. You're not going to know whose place it is until the Sunday, the February the 26th, and you're going to get directions. You're going to get there, and you're going to have a meal together. So if you want to host that, great. If you're adventurous and you want to go do it, great. That'd be great too. Maybe just a show of hands if you've done this before with us. Can you just put up your hand if you've done this before? Okay, we've got a couple. We've had quite a few, so it's been great. Make sure you sign up for that. All right, I'm going to call some people up front here. Heather Halliday. We've got a couple pictures Heather's going to go through for us too. The ladies' retreat, so...
I hope you're not too sick of seeing me up here. I'm getting sick of hearing my own voice with last week and this week. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the ladies' retreat that we had 2 weekends ago. Can I just see a show of hands, all the ladies who were there? Excellent. So we have a couple of slides, just pictures from the retreat, and I just wanted to kind of give a report to the rest of you who weren't there. To tell you what we were up to and what it was about. And I haven't actually seen the pictures. I was going to come up and say, don't worry, there are no hot tub shots, but I don't actually know if that's true. So we'll see. So you can go ahead and start that, Gail. So 2 weekends ago, about 35 of us went out to the Goldeye Center, west of here, out past Nordegg, and had a really fun and powerful time. So there were different activities that we did, a lot of hanging out, playing games, laughing. There were some worship and prayer times and some speaking and just lots of getting to know one another, different generations and different groups of people hanging out and having a good time. And also it was, oh good, but it's just the headshots, that's better. Mine was kind of from up above and I thought that can't go in the PowerPoint, all the bathing suits. Ladies will not be happy, they won't come again. So I just wanted to let you know that it was a really powerful time. God was there, and he did some amazing things. He met a lot of ladies, and he spoke to hearts, and it was incredible. So we had, our theme was looking to Jesus, and there were four speakers talking about that in different aspects of our lives. And we learned a lot, and we cried a little bit, maybe a lot, and we laughed a lot, and it was wonderful. So I wanted to encourage those of you ladies who were there, who made pacts or agreements with one another, who talked about accountability and that sort of thing. I wanted to encourage you to keep going with that, especially in these following weeks where it can be hard and where Satan would really like to discourage you. But those things that God has prompted you to are important, and he wants you to keep doing them. And if any of us can be a part of helping you through that, we'd be more than happy to. Another thing that we talked about as women was we were really challenged to reach out to other people in the church, in our communities and around the world, but also the people who are coming through our doors that maybe we don't get to say hi to or reach out to because we're busy talking to our friends. And that was something cool that we didn't really expect or plan, but that came out of this weekend. So we've been challenging each other, and it's awesome because I see ladies like sitting in different spots, which just throws everybody off and into chaos if you sat in the same spot for 40 years. So that's good. And they're meeting new people, and that's great. And I also wanted to just let you know, as Pastor Kyle alluded to, there's an adult bulletin, and in it are some ladies' opportunities. So if you're a lady, you weren't at the retreat, or if you were, and you're wondering, well, is there anything else other than once a year opportunities for ladies to get together? There totally are. So take a look in there. You can ask any of the ladies who are on the ladies' ministry board. Do you guys mind raising your hands? Just, is that Julie? Gail's up there. Lucy's out there. But you can ask any of us. Yeah, because there are cool things going on for ladies, and we want to connect. And there is a place for you. So thanks, all you ladies who were there on the weekend, and we look forward to seeing you at future events.
All right, I'm going to also call up Harry. He's got a quick announcement to make.
Thank you. Good morning. Just a quick announcement that all the tax receipts are in the mailbox. So if you go back there, please pick them up. If you have questions, please come and see me. I will try and answer them for you. Thank you.
Okay, and last, we got a video here we're just going to show.
God spoke to the founders of Haiti Arise, Lisa and Mark Honorat, through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah says, "Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as day." Lisa Honorat is an American girl, and she grew up with a heart for missions, and so she went to Jamaica. And that's where she first met her Mark, and began a 3-year long-distance romance. She went on to Rome to teach refugee kids for 3 years. And then she went back to Calgary, Alberta, to Bible College, and she met Mark again there. And that's where Mark got his degree. And they decided to get married. And so that was about 12 years ago. And with their marriage, another thing was born, and that was a message that they received from God to start Haiti Arise. And so it started with small beginnings, and it sort of came out of Mark's desire to see a change in his nation, because he is a native Haitian, and he knows the people's plight so well. He experienced it himself. He was born to an impoverished family of 15 children. His father was a voodoo priest, but he was spared the influence of voodooism because at the age of 5, he was taken from his home, and he became a restavek, which is essentially a child slave. And from the age of 5 until he was 12, he slept on a dirt floor. He got one meal a day, and in return for that, he cooked and cleaned, carried water, huge heavy buckets on their heads, and gardened, and wasn't permitted to go to school, and was harshly treated in this family that he was the child slave for. And that practice continues to this day. He was rescued by his brother when he was 12, taken to a children's home where he got to attend school. So something that we take for granted, going to school, was a gift. He was sponsored by a Canadian woman. So if you're sponsoring a child, consider it like a mustard seed. You don't know what you're planting. And in this case, this Canadian woman sponsored him. He finished his degree at Evangel Bible College in Calgary. And he went on to start this work, Haiti Arise. And that's where we're heading. Because where you see God working, you want to be a part of that.
The team that we're going down as a part of is about 15 or 17 members strong. The major focus of the teamwork that we're expected to perform when we're down there is working in the medical clinic. So just a little bit about that medical clinic. You saw some pictures of it in the video. Construction began in October of 2010. It's a project that's primarily been a partnership with the Cranbrook team that's been going down to Haiti Arise for a few years, headed by Dr. Bob Cutler and an organization that he started called Hungry for Life. It's constructed of prefab concrete panels, a system that's uniquely designed to withstand the culture and environment of Haiti. The idea being that if that place is rocked again with an earthquake, these panels are going to shift in the slots they're put in, and this building is going to stay standing. It's been built using local workers and providing many hours of hands-on training for them. It consists of 4 exam rooms, 4 operating rooms, which makes me a little curious, an office and a reception area, and public showers. It's designed to meet the basic needs of health care and disease prevention. Their desire and their purpose, as stated, is to couple the healthcare education and training of medical personnel with treatment of patients. So I really kind of like that philosophy, that it's an ongoing thing. Currently, the clinic is run biannually, twice a year, seeing approximately 1,000 to 1,500 patients in about a 2-week stint. And just to give you a reference point, in January of this past year, we saw 2,076 patients in the emergency room at Rocky Mountain House. So that kind of gives you an idea of the need that's down there. The goal of the clinic is to operate a full-time medical clinic staffed by local Haitian nurses and medical personnel. Their philosophy of healthcare is to provide education in health, hygiene, and prevention. They will continue to host medical teams once the clinic is fully operational, as well as operating with indigenous personnel. They want to provide teaching in pre- and postnatal care, dental hygiene, post-traumatic stress, and nutrition. So if you see that that's something that fits into your line of expertise, stay tuned. There might be opportunities for you as well. As far as we're aware, one of the projects that we'll be given when we go down there is to open up this medical clinic and set it up. They have apparently over 100 of those rubber tote boxes full of supplies that need to be unpacked and organized, many of them containing supplies. I have no idea. I think it's going to be quite the challenge. And as well as to run clinics while we're down there, working in teams. We have a physician, a pharmacist, another diabetic educator, a foot care specialist. Anybody else you can think of? I think that's it. And then about four or five of us that work is just kind of general clinic nursing roles. So please be in prayer for us as we go down, that we'll have wisdom about dealing with individuals. We'll be working through translators. And so I think communication is going to be a huge challenge. And that just that we'll be able to serve them and meet the needs where they are, and for our own personal safety as well.
Thanks, Tanis and Joyce. And as you guys know, last year Ruth went down on a team from Saskatchewan, basically. And it was quite interesting because 40 years ago, we worked in the territories. That's where Ruth and I met. And the nursing director that worked with Ruth, Sharon Tracy, is the head of the Saskatchewan Christian Nurses Association. And so Ruth got invited on this trip. This year, we wanted to see it grow. And so there are six of us going down from here. And Joyce and Tanis mentioned the nurse and the medical part of it, but also Noah and myself and Doug Ritchie are going down as part of the team, and there's a few guys from Saskatchewan as well. And we're not totally sure what we're going to be doing, except we know we're going to be building and helping in some of the reconstruction of the technical school and the some of the houses and the children's village that is there and that type of thing. And I want you guys to know that all of us are paying our own way down. We've already paid, and everything is taken care of that way. So anything that's donated at the back there in those totes, and they've been there for some weeks now, we want to fill those up, will go directly to that project. Any money that you donate, and you can just put a check into Rocky Alliance, into that box there, that will go directly to a project, hopefully building a house for a person down there as part of the complex there. And so we're trusting that God is going to build this project. And many of you know that Haiti is in desperate need. In your bulletins today, there's an outline of just where things are at in a letter that I wrote about Haiti. And there are still many people suffering from cholera, many people who don't have the basic necessities of life. $96 a year is spent on each person's health care in Haiti in 1 year. You know, we probably go through that in an hour in North America or more, and we just take those things for granted. So we trust that God will enable you to get involved in that way. And next year, we're hoping to see a bigger team, maybe an all-Rocky team, go down there to help in the medical end of things and to help in some of the building ends of things. No, I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I'm going to call you up, and Noah sort of knows that this is happening, but I didn't tell him what I was going to ask him. Noah, what are you doing at the high school to raise money for this project?
I'm going to put out posters around the school and basically going to have a fundraiser, and for some incentive, people are going to watch me get my hair cut off.
Hey, thanks very much, Noah. You know, it's interesting. I always thought that was in the 70s. Those type of hairdos weren't natural. They were kind of perms, but that's natural. And so, man, he's shaving a big part of himself off for this project. So thank you very much. But we covet your prayers more than anything as a team. And we really want to see God work on this trip and obviously in the years to come. So thank you for any support that you can provide us. It will be appreciated and will be used in a positive way.
Thank you, Gord, and the rest of the team. And we're just going to take the offering this morning. And so I'll have the ushers come up. And we're just going to pray for that. And I also want to pray for the team going down to Haiti as well. So let's just bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this morning, and the fact that you are working in our midst, you're working in people's hearts to call them to places like Haiti, and God, that we can all be a part of that in prayer and in financial support and encouragement, and I thank you that it's not just an individual thing, but it's working together as a body. And so I pray for that team, that you would fill them with your Spirit, Lord, you would help them to honor you while they're down there, to know exactly what you're wanting them to do as well. I just pray that you would help us not only to pray for them, but also to be attentive to your voice, God, in knowing whether we should give or how much to give, and just stir our hearts to give to things like this. As well, I just pray for Sarah Musker while she's in Vancouver area, and that you would be still working in our hearts, God, to pray for her and support her during her internship down there. And thank you that she responded to your call to go minister to the children in immigrant families in Vancouver area. So we thank you for that, Lord, and we pray that you would also bless this morning's tithes and offering, and that you would just give us a wisdom as a church how to use it to glorify you and to bring furtherance to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Forgive, sing it, I believe he's here. I believe He is here now. He's standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now. And the grace to forgive.
And the grace.
And the grace to forgive.
Would you stand with us as we sing?
We are the moment, You are forever, Lord of all ages, God before time. We are a vapor, You are eternal, love everlasting, reigning all high. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto Your name. Be unto Your name. Broken, You are the healer, Jesus Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before You, blessing Your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto Your name. Be unto Your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto Your name. Be unto Your name. Unto Your name.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul, I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more. more pain I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's dawning when this darkness breaks to light. The shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. And I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. Sing, I will rise, and I will rise. When He calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise.
That we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners.
from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, His blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled, and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, the name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all
our hope.
All our hope is in you. For sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, you're the Lord of all.
We just sing, all our hope is in you.
All our hope is in you.
Father, we just, Lord, we thank you that you are our ransom. You're our rescue. You laid down everything you are for us. And I just thank you that you are Lord of all. And all our hope is in you, God. All the glory is in you. Everything we are, everything we hope to be is in you. And Lord, I just thank you so much for that. And just be with us, Lord, as we listen to your word this morning. God, may it hit us right in the heart and challenge us to the very depths of who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
We are going through the book of Jeremiah, and hopefully this is on now. Are you hearing me? Good, good. It's interesting because it's a book that is very depressing if you read it through natural eyes, and it can be very depressing. But it's a book that has a lot to say to us. And you know, as we've been reading through the book of Jeremiah, as we've been looking through it, I get very conscious of the time. I know Pastor Kyle does as well. And one of the things in preparing for this sermon series and in looking at the Word is I'm very conscious of the fact that we're looking at whole passages of Scripture. In other words, Jeremiah 4 or Jeremiah 5 and or whatever. And as pastors, sometimes we kind of struggle. We struggle with, I guess, what to say, how to say it. We struggle with, should we read the entire chapter here? And I know this morning I was struggling with that. I got up, as often is the case when I preach on Sundays, I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And if I try to stay in bed any longer, it doesn't work, and I'm just tossing and turning, so I got to get out anyhow. It's one of those things where you do get nervous when you're sharing the word. And there's good reason for that, because I think God causes us, as anybody who shares the word, whether we're just sharing one-on-one with people or whether we're sharing in an audience, he causes us to really wrestle with what he wants us to say and what he wants us to read. And so this morning, I was wrestling with, you know, do we read the entire book together, or do I just read a couple of things and a couple of verses and go that route? But I really felt that we should read through the entire chapter together, and I don't have it on the overhead, at least the entire chapter. So if you'll turn in your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 5, we're going to read through the whole passage. And I wish I was a person that was very dramatic and could do a monologue up here, because it would do a lot more justice than I can do to reading it and to what must have been going through the prophet's mind as he was reciting these verses and going through it. But follow along with me in your Bibles. Go up and down the streets of Jerusalem. Look around and consider. Search through her squares. If you can find but one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive this city. Although they say, as surely as the Lord lives, still they are swearing falsely. O Lord, do not your eyes look for the truth? You struck them, but they felt no pain. You crushed them, but they refused correction. They made their faces harder than stone and refused to repent. I thought, these are only the poor, they are the foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the requirements of their God. So I will go to the leaders and speak to them. Surely they know the way of the Lord, the requirements of their God. But with one accord, they too had broken off the yoke and tore off the bonds.
Therefore, a lion from the forest will attack them. A wolf from the desert will ravage them. A leopard will lie in wait near their towns to tear to pieces any who venture out. For their rebellion is great and their backslidings many. Why should I forgive you? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by gods that are not gods. I supplied all their needs, yet they committed adultery. And they throng to the houses of prostitutes. They are well-fed, lusty stallions, each neighing for another man's wife. Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Go through her vineyards and ravage them, but do not destroy them completely. Strip off her branches, for these people do not belong to the Lord. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have been utterly unfaithful to me, declares the Lord. They have lied about the Lord. They said, He will do nothing. No harm will come to us. We will never see sword nor famine. The prophets are but wind, and the word is not in them. So let what they say be done to them. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. Because the people have spoken these words, I will make my words in your mouth a fire, and these people the wood it consumes. O house of Israel, declares the Lord, I am bringing a distant nation against you, an ancient and enduring nation, a people whose language you do not know, whose speech you do not understand. Their quivers are like an open grave. All of them are mighty warriors. They will devour your harvests and food. They'll devour your sons and daughters. They will devour your flocks and herds, devour your vines and fig trees. With the sword they will destroy the fortified cities in which you trust. Yet even in those days, declares the Lord, I will not destroy you completely. And when the people asked, Why has the Lord our God done all of this to us? You will tell them, As you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your own land, so now you will serve foreigners in a land not your own. Announce this to the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah. Hear this, you foolish and senseless people who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence? I made the sand a boundary for the sea and an everlasting barrier it cannot cross. The waves may roll, but they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it. But these people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned aside and gone away. They do not say to themselves, Let us fear the Lord our God, who gives autumn and spring rains in season, who assures us of the regular weeks of the harvest. Your wrongdoings have kept these away. Your sins have deprived you of good. Among my people are wicked men who lie in wait like men who snare birds and like those who set traps to catch men. Like cages full of birds, their houses are full of deceit. They have become rich and powerful and have grown fat and sleek. Their evil deeds have no limit. They do not plead the case of the fatherless to win it. They do not defend the rights of the poor. Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies, the priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? Let's bow our heads. Father, your word is just totally amazing and is scary sometimes, Lord. I got to admit that. And Father, I am so thankful that you have given us this word, the entire Bible, for our use in this day. You've given us historical and cultural things that have happened in this world in the past to teach us today, Lord, how we are to be responding, how we are to act, and who we are to serve. And Father, my prayer this morning is that as we look at your word together, just very briefly, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Father, show us where we need to give more of ourselves to you. Show us, Lord, where we're perhaps holding back things in our lives. Show us, Lord, where perhaps we have just kind of got sucked into the way of the world around us. But Father, more than anything, that you would show us Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. The gospel, what he came to this earth for, and how he has changed all that, and how he can change our lives. Would you do that, Jesus, as we look into the word today? In your name we pray. Amen. Have you ever found yourself looking for a perfect person, perfect situation? That one, and I'm going to look at a person. Looking, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, what, in a couple of weeks, guys? You've got it all down, right? You've got your plans all made. You know exactly what you're going to do for Valentine's Day in another week. But, you know, we often are looking for that one person that we could love or who could love us in life for any situation, and especially teenagers. You know, you begin that process, and then you get into your 20s, and you know, all of us are looking for someone that we can share life with. Well, you know, about 40 years ago, 39 to be exact, my wife and I met in Hay River, Northwest Territories. I was convinced that I found the perfect person as soon as I saw her. She wasn't so convinced. It took her 3 years to figure that out. And she let me know all the time, especially when I asked her on that first date. I remember it was to a banquet, and she said, and I've shared this story before, but, you know, and when we finally sat down and talked and, you know, got a bit more intimate about where we were going and marriage and talking about that, and her comeback to when I said I wanted things to be a bit deeper than they were, well, you know, God's got a very special person for me. And that made me feel kind of crummy. And that went on for 3 years until she figured it out. And Ruth is downstairs today, so please don't tell her I'm saying all this again. But, you know, it's interesting because at the end of that time in Hay River, the fourth year, she figured it out, and she had thought that she had found the perfect person in me. And, you know, for the first year or so, you know, yeah, she thought I was perfect. But things really changed really quickly, and she began to see that, hey, I have struggles the same as everybody else, and, you know, the honeymoon stage wears off, and things become a bit normal again. But, you know, I used to think I was a pretty good driver. Still do think I'm a kind of a good driver. And, you know, three speeding tickets that I've got over the years have kind of demystified that whole thought. Brandon, I remember, you know, filling in one New Year's Eve for a guy. His name was Ken, and he was a delivery driver. I was a cook at this pizza place, and he wanted to go to this party. I had become a Christian, so I didn't want to go to it because I knew what the party was going to be all about. So, yeah, I'll do your shift for you, Ken. And so I thought I was doing really good. Well, I ended up getting a ticket that night for speeding. I think I was going 50 in a 30 zone or some ridiculous thing, kind of like out in front of the church here. And sure enough, I lost everything I made that night. That was my first ticket. My second one I mentioned before, I think on a couple of sermons, was in Merritt, B.C. 15 years ago, where we had come back from Los Angeles. I was so thrilled at being able to do 130 kilometers an hour legally in Los Angeles that when I got to Merritt, B.C. in the four-lane section there, I did 130, and sure enough, somebody turns on his siren and ticketed me. And then the last one was 3 years ago in Sylvan Lake, where I was testing out our new cruise, and I pressed the button the wrong time, and it zoomed us up to about 110 in that 80-kilometer-an-hour zone. And, you know, I was guilty on all occasions, but I still look at those events and say, you know, man, I shouldn't have been caught. I mean, I was trying to do good. It was honest mistakes, all this, but I stood guilty in those situations. Well, today as we look at Jeremiah chapter 5, we find God looking for one upright person. You know, God says to Jeremiah, can you find, if you can find but one upright person in this city, then I will spare the land. And it kind of is a bit of a picture of our society, isn't it, in terms of looking around even today. It's difficult to find upright people in our society. Jeremiah chapter 5 is a description of a backslidden people who fell and forsook God. And for the last 4 weeks, I guess now, we've been looking at that, looking at various aspects of how these people had fallen and forsaken God. God's description of a backslidden Israel and Judah. The north and south kingdoms were a total mess. And verse 1 in this chapter is basically saying, no one in the entire land is upright. There's no one who's honest enough and who is honestly seeking the truth of God and who really wants to even hear the truth of what I'm saying and what God was saying. And, you know, we don't have to look around very far to say that that's kind of like it is in our society today. Many in our nation, in our world, claim to be Christians, yet their lifestyles are absolutely no different than the world around them. And you know what? I went through that period in my life when I became a Christian. I knew there were things in my life and my habits and whatnot that had to change, and they didn't change overnight. It took a while for that to happen, and there are still things in my life that I know I struggle with, and I've got to give them over to God on a daily basis. But He wants us to be different. He wants us to be different than the world around us. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. You know, ours is a culture where we see this today. If you don't like what you hear here, then some people go to different churches and so that they can hear something else, and maybe not even a church, maybe just to different gatherings or to hear a different person speak who will say what kind of matches up with their life. And I don't think that's what the Bible should be doing in our lives. I think the Bible is a bit more serious than that, and we need to take it a bit more seriously. Jeremiah 5, verses 1 to 13, and I'm just going to go over these little sections very briefly, gives a picture of a people who have lost their way, the way of the Lord, lost their purpose in serving God in their lives. A people who have stubbornly hardened their hearts against God. A people who have lost their way and were not following the one true God. And if you look at those passages, we read them, it says that basically even the leaders, the prophets and the religious leaders, had messed up. They were far from God during this time. And I think it's an interesting picture that is presented there. It's a vivid picture of a totally backslidden, depraved nation. No one in the entire land is upright. There's no one living in integrity and honesty who seeks the truth. Many couldn't even recognize the lies that they were living in their own lives. And friends, I have to ask myself the question sometimes. Do I recognize the prosperity and the security that we have in this country, that God has given us? Do we recognize that when it comes to looking at other countries of the world that don't have those things, those wonderful things that we have? And boy, I sure know I don't recognize that all the time. I take things for granted all the time, and I know that all of us do from time to time. But, you know, it's interesting when we see this. It says in verse 11, the house of Israel and the house of Jacob have been utterly unfaithful to me, declares the Lord. You know, what a picture of a nation who wasn't serving God. In chapter 5, verses 14 to 19, we get a picture of God's judgment on his people. And it says that God's judgment will come in the form of another nation that he is going to send, or that is going to come against Judah and against Israel. And that is the people of Babylon. It says that God won't destroy his people completely, But because they have served foreign gods in their own land, God would now have them serve foreigners, Babylon, in their land, which Judah and Israel knew as a strange land. It would be a totally strange land to them. So God would judge the people of Israel, his people. And somebody asked me, we were talking this morning, will God judge us as people? Will God judge North America, the United States, Canada? And I have to say, yes, I believe he will. There's no doubt about it from Scripture. I don't see anything that says anything otherwise than that we won't be judged for some of the things as a nation that we do and don't do. Sins of commission, sins of omission, I guess you could say. And in chapter 5, verses 20 to 25, we see a picture of God calling to his people to fear him. Verses 20 to 25 address the foolish and senseless people who don't acknowledge and fear the Lord, despite his great power and despite seeing creation all around them that proves that God is, in fact, in control and has created everything around them. They still weren't seeing God. They still weren't following him. Verses 26 to 29 reflect on the sin of God's people that must be judged because he is a just God. He's righteous and holy, and he can't stand unrighteousness and unholiness. And so he's got to judge. He's got to stay with his character, if you will, and judge those things that are around him. And we're given a metaphor of a fowler. Wicked men who trap them like a fowler traps birds. And that's what God was saying had happened to these people. They had been trapped by the things, the gods, the idols that were around them, and they were following those. And he likens that to a bird being trapped by a fowler. And then in verses 30 and 31, we see a focus on the prophets and the religious leaders, the priests. These so-called religious leaders ruled by their authority, not God's authority. And, you know, I know that there are many, many churches across our land who are serving God and who are promoting the gospel and who are preaching the gospel. But I do know that there are many teachings across our land that have strayed from that. And that hurts to see that, friends. It hurts to see that these great nations that were founded on Christian principles, that many of those Christian principles have kind of waned in our North American society. It says that in verse 30 and 31, that they stand guilty and they deserve death according to the Mosaic law, these religious leaders, because they were preaching by their own authority, not by God's authority. And I think it's a warning, folks, to us in our societies today, very much so. And because of this total mess of Israel spiritually, Jeremiah was told by God to simply do this. Go up and down the streets of Jerusalem, look around, and search through her squares. If you can find but one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive this city. And Jeremiah, we know, did that. And he looked for those people. And boy, if there weren't very many around in that day and age, just like we're in a minority today in this day and age. You know, often we look for that perfect person, that perfect situation, that perfect job, and even that perfect church. You and I often search until the day we die. And, you know, sometimes we just never find perfection in others, and usually we don't, if we're honest. No matter how much we look, we'll never find perfection in people. I think it's pretty hard for you and I to reach the place of humility in our lives to be able to admit this. We aren't perfect. We fail miserably every day. And if my wife was up here this morning, I'm sure that she could tell you many stories, although she's really good. She forgets them and she forgives. And I try to do that with her too. But I know that there are many times when I failed where she could paint a pretty bleak picture of me as an individual. You know, as pastors, we often pray in the morning for you guys. Lord, we know when kids are getting up and there are struggles in the household and there can be fights and there can be this happening and that happening. Lord, somehow work through all that to draw people here so that they can hear not our words, but your word. And friends, we know we're living in an imperfect world. We all have struggles. We all have things in our lives that really are struggles. You know, Romans 3 is a great portion of Scripture that kind of spells all this out. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 3. We're just going to look at a few verses very quickly today before communion. I'm just going to read verses, starting with verses 9 through 18. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks after God. All have turned away. They have all together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit, the poison of vipers is on their lips, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Friends, what can we conclude from reading this passage of Scripture? If you look at verse 9, it asks the question, are you and I any better than anybody else? Are you and I any better than the Israelites who forsook God and served idols? It doesn't matter whether we're God's chosen people in the Old Testament or we're New Testament believers. Are we any better today? The Bible makes it clear that you and I are all under the curse of sin that came with the fall. My and your natural bent is to oppose God. Our natural inclination in our lives is sin. And it doesn't matter how hard we try in our own power, we cannot get away from that. Sin is around us, it's there, and we just can't get away from it on our own strength and power. And in verse 10 it says, not one of us is righteous. Not one of us who seeks after God or gets God, understands God. You may be the most moral living person that you know, but you're not perfect. Maybe you're the greatest teacher, the greatest singer, the greatest witness for Christ. It really doesn't matter, friends. You and I are not perfect. You may think that you've arrived and know more than anyone else about God, but the Bible teaches that you're not righteous by virtue of your own goodness. You may think that you're the most disciplined student of the Bible in this area, but the Bible teaches that you are not righteous in and of yourself. There's no one that seeks after God, not even you or I. Verses 12 to 18 basically bring out that fact that every single one of us have turned away from God and every single one of us is not perfect. Look at the words that this passage uses to describe, to say that we're worthless on the basis of our own goodness. It says this, all have turned away. They have all together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know, what a vivid picture of all of us apart from Jesus Christ. And I marvel every time I read passages like this. I marvel at God's grace in our lives and how he can break through all of that because of his grace. And I praise God that He doesn't leave us in this helpless state that we see presented in these verses. Romans 3:20 goes on to say, no one is declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Remember those three speeding tickets I got many years ago? Those three speeding tickets have shown me over the years, yeah, that I am guilty. I disobeyed the law on those occasions. I didn't get off on those specific occasions. I had to pay my fines. But they showed me that the sin that I had committed, the things that I had done that were wrong, they showed me my imperfection. Friends, our righteousness only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. All of us, and the Bible is very clear, sin and fall short of God's glory. Our only means of redemption is Jesus Christ, Him alone. We can't become His children through obeying a set of laws or being good. We can't be good enough. We can't obey every law. We're that imperfect. We must have faith in Jesus' shed blood on the cross to be saved. And friends, that is the essence of the gospel. That is the essence of who Jesus is. He came to break apart all that, to give us hope, to give us something that we could not produce in ourselves. You and I who know Jesus are justified by faith. And that word justified, I think Josh Halliday brought it out last week. It's just as if I never sinned. When we believe in Jesus and what He did on the cross of Calvary, God credits this to us as righteousness. It's just as if we didn't sin. It's just as if the judge overlooked those speeding tickets and I didn't have to pay them, I wish, many years ago. You know, when we simply believe in what Jesus did on the cross for us, He credits us with righteousness. He credits us with His free gift of salvation. And what a blessing that is, folks. It's that grace that Josh talked about last Sunday in his daughter's baby dedication. We did absolutely nothing to earn our salvation. None of us here. Not a single one of us. But God gave His salvation freely. And that is the essence of the gospel, folks. And we must never, never forget that the essence of the gospel. Well, friends, what better way to approach communion this morning than with this understanding that you and I have done nothing to be able to partake together? What better reason to celebrate communion? You know, Josh mentioned that U2 song, or those little words written by Bono last week, and I just want to repeat the first three sentences, I guess, of that again. Grace, she takes the blame. Grace, she covers the shame. Grace, she removes the stain. Friends, that's all about God's amazing grace in Jesus Christ for you and I. And what a blessing to know that amazing grace. I'm going to call on the team now to come forward, and the elders as well. And we want to celebrate this morning. Because when we look at this depiction that Jeremiah gives and that Romans gives, it's pretty bleak without Jesus Christ. But I just praise God this morning that Jesus has enabled you and I to celebrate together what He has done for us. The fact that He's broke all that apart. He's paid the price. He's did it for you and I. And you know, we've said often before that communion is for each one of us here that know Jesus Christ. You know, if we're trying to be perfect, if we're not taking communion because we feel that we got to be perfect to do that, then that's a wrong reason not to take communion. We're never going to be perfect. And if you think you got to be perfect to take communion, if you are a Christian, then you're never going to take communion your entire life because you're never going to make it. But Jesus has paid the price for each one of us. That's why we're celebrating this morning. And we want to celebrate this great act that we do on a monthly basis together for that person, for that purpose. You know, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, that's all you need to be able to take communion together. If you have something that you do know that you got to get right with a brother or sister, then that's fine. Maybe don't take partake of communion for that reason. But really, God has paid it all. He has changed us. He has made us different through what he did on the cross of Calvary for each one of us. We're going to pass out the elements this morning. We're going to sing as we as that's done. And we want you to celebrate what Jesus has done. And so take the elements, the bread as it's handed out. Just hang on to it. We'll partake together. And so guys, would you...
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God! Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. The beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! To say with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God!
Sing name above all names.
Know the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God.
Sing name above all names.
Know the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God.
How great is our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Scripture says this, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I'm going to ask Pastor Glenn if he'll just lead us in prayer for the body of Christ, which he gave for us.
Lord, we're so grateful that you did die for our sins, Lord, that even though we can never be perfect, God, you made a way for us, and I pray that we wouldn't take that for granted, that we would be motivated to live for you, to drop our worthless idols and to follow after you. And we thank you that there is a way for us, and we turn to you and we trust in you, Lord. We thank you for your body that you sacrificed for us. Amen.
Let's partake together.
God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed,
and sings my soul, my Savior God, to lead. How great thou art, how great away my
I sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Harry, would you like to lead us in prayer?
Lord Jesus, how great thou art. We thank you that you shed your blood for us, sinners as we are. We thank you in your most precious name.
Let's partake together.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
I will sing a new song to you.
pray a blessing on you before you go, and you'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for just the message you've spoken to us this morning. God, that through your prophet Jeremiah, and the fact that we are backsliding and forgetful of your grace, of your blessings in our lives. And Lord, I pray that this week you would bring things into our lives that would remind us of who you are and what you've done for us, that we wouldn't take it for granted, but that we would be daily meditating upon, God, just your love and all that you've done in our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
One more thing. Ladies who went to the retreat, we're going to have surveys at the back just to get your feedback, so if you wouldn't mind grabbing one of those.
For the kingdom is yours and the power is yours, the glory forever, amen. For the kingdom is yours, the power is yours, the glory forever, amen. For the kingdom is yours and the power is yours, the glory forever, amen. For the kingdom is yours, the power is yours, the glory forever, amen. So let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Every heart proclaim the mercy of your name, on earth as it is in heaven.